afraid of my siblings. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, my Lord, my Rock, and my Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
This past Thursday, February 13th, we celebrated and remembered the feast day of Reverend Absalom Jones, the first African-American priest in the Episcopal Church, a man whose whole life showed us what it means to trust in God, especially during the hardest times. Born into slavery, Absalom Jones taught himself to read using the Bible, and specifically the New Testament. Each word he learned was an act of holy defiance, each page a step towards freedom. Now, what most deeply moved me about his story, maybe this is just because I'm romantic, but when he began to save money for freedom, he didn't buy his own freedom first. Instead, he worked for a long 8 years to purchase his wife Mary's freedom, making sure that their unborn children will be born free before securing his own liberation. In this profound act of love, Absalom Jones shows us a truth that we are still grappling with and learning today, that our own freedom, our own wholeness, is bound up in the freedom and wholeness of others. Think about that commitment of Absalom Jones for just a moment. 8 years of hard labor, every penny for the little that I'm sure he received, just saving it up, not for his own liberty or comfort, but for his wives, for someone beside him, for his children's future. And sure, this is a father and husband love, but it's more than that. It's a deep understanding that true freedom isn't something we achieve alone. When Absalom Jones and other black worshipers were forced to leave their church while praying, they were literally on their knees praying. He didn't let bitterness take root in his heart, but instead created the African Episcopal Church of St. Thomas, becoming its first rector. Like his earlier sacrifice for his wife's freedom, Absalom's ministry always looked beyond himself and towards the needs of others. He and his congregation, alongside Richard Allen, cared for the sick during Philadelphia's yellow fever epidemic, when many others decided to flee the city. They created schools, established mutual aid societies, and built communities in face of constant opposition. In 1808, on the day that the importation of enslaved persons were made illegal in the United States, Jones preached a powerful sermon titled A Thanksgiving Sermon, where he boldly proclaimed, "The Lord appears on behalf of the oppressed." These weren't just words for Jones, they were his story and his life. Even as he celebrated this victory for all black Americans at that time, he knew there was more work to be done. Yet his trust in God's presence never wavered. For Absalom Jones, hope and struggle went hand in hand. His faith didn't make him passive in the face of injustice. Instead, it made it more determined for the work left to be done. Now, this understanding of a God who stands with those who suffer comes alive in our gospel today. As you might remember, in the gospel according to Matthew, Jesus is preaching from the mountaintop. However, the gospel that we heard today comes from Luke, where he shows us something very different. Luke instead places Jesus on the level ground with the people he is with. The setting itself is a sermon in itself for myself. Even before Jesus even speaks the word, he has come down from the mountain where he has been praying, choosing to stand in the plain level ground with the crowds. The sermon is also titled the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain. But then, because we're so used to the Beatitudes sermons, we are so easily to forget this one detail before all that. And this beautiful detail we get only in Luke is the following. Jesus looked up at his disciples. Usually to look up is to look at you in your eyes, to make eye contact, to look up, the incarnate God deliberately positioning himself right there with those who he teaches, gazing up into their faces. This is what I think quite literally means Emmanuel, God with us, choosing to stand in the messiness and chaos of our beautiful, hard, and broken lives. In this one gesture, Jesus reveals the very heart of God, a God who chooses to be vulnerable with us, a God who chooses to meet us eye to eye, who sees us just as we are. And so, my siblings, I imagine that today we all gather here with some weight of the world's division, whatever that may be. Our neighbors continue to face mass deportation. Our LGBTQIA+ neighbors and siblings confront new waves of discrimination, of homophobia and transphobia. Human rights and access to reproductive care continues to be under attack. Black bodies and lives continue to be senselessly taken by police brutality and systemic systems of oppression. Native Americans continue to have their land stolen, their stories buried, and their people forgotten and pushed aside. Aside from all that, some of us sit here today carrying personal burdens too heavy to name, illnesses and grief, broken relationships and financial struggles, depression, anxiety, and loneliness, the list goes on. We gather here today, the mountain heaviness of the world. And yet these are the exact level places where God invites us to and meets us in today. The plain where Jesus stands is not just a geographical location, it's wherever the people are hurting, wherever we're struggling, wherever there's fighting for dignity and justice and hope. In that plain, that's where we find Jesus in the hospital waiting rooms, where families hold their breaths waiting for news. It's in immigration courtrooms where parents face separation from the children. It's in the quiet darkness of depression where someone can barely find the strength to get out of their bed. These are the level places of our lives, where pain and hope intertwine once again, where dignity and despair wrestle, and where humanity meets holiness. Just as Absalom Jones understood that his freedom wasn't enough while others remained chained, We too are called to understand that none of us can truly be whole while others suffer. And this isn't just beautiful theology or kind pleasantries, it's the hard truth of our interconnected lives. When one part of our human family is wounded, we all carry that scar. When one member of a community is pushed down, we all stand on shaky ground. When Jesus looked up at his disciples on that plain, he was showing us where God chooses to be. And my siblings, the good news is it's not distant from our pain, thanks be to God, but right in the midst of it. This is the scandal and the beauty of the faith that we proclaim, that God chooses to stand over and over again, not on the mountaintop of glory, but in the valley of human suffering. That divine power shows itself not in escape from pain, but in the presence within it. That Jesus meets us not by lifting us out of our struggles, but by standing with us in their midst, by looking up into our faces with eyes of love, reminding us that we are seen, we are known, and we are never alone in those level places in life. During the same sermon on the plain, Jesus then speaks the very familiar blessing. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Notice, neither in any of these does Jesus ever say, blessed will you be. He says, blessed are you. So these are not just promises in a far off future that are so unattainable to us. They're instead God's reality that he is in the presence of us right now, today, in 2025, the midst of our struggles and in our pain. These blessings are also a radical reimagining of what a blessing actually looks like. The words tell us we're blessed. The world usually tends to tell us we're blessed when we're comfortable and when we're successful, and even when we're disattached to the pain of others. Meanwhile, Jesus tells us we're actually blessed when we're hungry enough for justice that we can't look away from the suffering of others. We're blessed when we're poor enough in spirit to know we need each other. When we weep enough to let our hearts be broken by what breaks God's heart. That is the blessing we're talking about here today. So to those who are here in person or in live hurting today, hear this. God sees you. God stands with you on the level ground of your life. When things are hard to bear, when life seems to be falling apart, when you're experiencing the kind of suffering that comes with being human, Jesus is standing with you, bringing healing and hope. Your pain is not invisible to God. Our struggles are not meaningless. You are held in a tender love deeper than the darkness that you face. And then to all of us here, including myself, hear this call. Just as Jesus sees us, we're called to see each other, to stand with each other, to work for each other's freedom and dignity and liberty. Like Absalom Jones, we're called to understand that our own blessing is connected to the blessing of others. When we stand with those who suffer, when we work for justice, when we reach out across the divisions that continue to try to separate us daily, we're standing where Jesus continues to stand, on the level ground, looking into each other's eyes of love. And I know this isn't easy. I know that we are tired. There's so much every day that we are taking in and processing. That's aside from our own familiar family systems and everything going on. I know that this is not easy. I'm not trying to pretend it is. But I also know it wasn't easy for Absalom Jones. And I know it's just not gonna be easy. But we don't do it alone. We do it with those who are here, who continue to walk alongside with us here and outside. We do it with the God who chooses again and again to stand with us, who looks up into our faces with love, who blesses us, not in spite of our struggles, but in the midst of them. We do it with each other as a community called to embody God's love in a broken world. And so we know the problem. We know it's not going to be easy. But what does it mean? What does it mean to stand in these level places with Jesus today? And I think we can look at our ancestors and those who came before us with trailblazing propheticness to guide us through. Like Martin Luther King Jr., who followed in Absalom Jones' footsteps, we might be called to march in the streets and use our voice for justice. Like Nina Simone and Mahalia Jackson, whose songs boldly confronted racial injustice, we might be called to use our voices in song and poetry against injustice. Like Maya Angelou, perhaps you're called to use your poetry to speak truth to power and give voice to those who are silenced. Perhaps to the lawyers in the room, like Polly Murray, we might use our pens and our minds to argue for justice, to change hearts and laws alike. And if you feel like you don't really fit in that, you're not an artist, you're not a poet, you're not a lawyer, there's hope. Because what we all can be doing is, part of this is we continue to pray. We continue to pray without ceasing. We pray like Absalom Jones prayed, with hope for change and commitment to action. We pray when we're marching. We pray when we're writing letters. We pray when we're using our musical talents to create the music of this change. We pray when we're serving our on-house neighbors. We pray when we're calling our representatives. We pray when we're teaching our children about justice and dignity in hopes that this generation fixes it and gets it and does it differently. We pray with our words and our action and our lives. Because regardless of what society tries to tell us, prayer isn't the last thing we do because we run out of all other resources. It's what empowers us to do everything else. Prayer keeps us connected to the God who stands with us on that level ground. Prayer reminds us that we're not alone in this work. Prayer opens our eyes to see where Jesus is already standing, already looking up into the faces of those who suffer, already blessing this world. So my siblings, may we find the strength. May we find the strength like Absalom Jones did, in knowing that God appears on behalf of the oppressed. May we trust, even when it gets hard to believe, or even in our hardest moments, that Jesus still stands with us. And may we live in ways that help to bring God's kingdom closer to this broken and yet beautiful world we share. Not just for ourselves, but for all of God's children. Amen.